You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On this episode of the Cooligans, in the first segment, we basically talk about Copa America. So much has happened in the first week. We talked about Brazil versus Ecuador. We talked about Jamaica versus Venezuela. No, we didn't. What we really talked about was USA losing to Colombia, looking terrible. We talked about Mexico beating the pants out of Uruguay, and why if you play the wrong national anthem, or if they mess up your national anthem, you're guaranteed to lose.
In segment number two, we talk transfer talks. Oh my God, there's so many rumors going on.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Vardy going to Arsenal? Is Mars going to Arsenal?
Please?
As well? Is Leicester City being completely sabotaged by Arsenal? It's probable. Also, Ibrahimovic is going to Manchester United. Coutinho might be going to Barca. PSG. Lucas Moura going to Boca. Dani Alves leaving to Juventus.
Oh my God. In the third segment, we talk about Eva Carneiro finally settling with Chelsea, making all them bucks for being called a whore from Jose Mourinho. Fellaini dyed his hair blonde. Neymar is on a world tour through the U.S. hanging out with everyone. Bieber's got techers. FIFA 17 is out. What changes do we want to see? There's so much we talk about, and there's so much more that I didn't mention on this that we talk about on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Kyrie Shelton from New York City FC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Hi, I'm RJ Allen for New York City Football Club, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
This is Jack Harrison from NYCFC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
This is Ian Joy, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
It's the Cooligans.
It is the Cooligans.
Oh, man. Copa America.
Yeah, it's going
one week in,
and it's already going pretty well.
Oh, man.
Not even a week.
So much excitement.
Not even a full week.
Not even
just,
a full week.
4 or 5 days.
There's enough stories for the month. What is happening? Everything is happening.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is not the first time America is hosting the Copa America.
100% the first time.
Oh, it is the first time.
Yes.
Okay. So,
and the rumor is that they're just going to blend Copa America and the Gold Cup. Gold Copa America, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And it's going to be played in the U.S. every 4 years.
So that is the reports are suggesting that. So clearly, look, these first 5 days have gone pretty well.
We've won.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're business tycoons, we've won. As far as the national team is concerned, we got a long way to go. But as far as business is concerned,
the books are balanced.
Yeah, baby.
When it comes to America's checkbook.
We are making so much Panama paper. Oh man.
It is
over 40,000 people per match.
It's already a good showing. Yeah. We watched a couple games and you know, some of the games are like sparsely attended.
But they're also in these massive stadiums.
Yeah, in these group stages that tends to happen. Yeah.
Not people are lining up for Ecuador or Haiti.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's not going to you're not going to pack that in just Indiana.
Right. Tough.
Tough market.
Really tough. First of all, most of the fans aren't allowed into Indiana. Let's start there.
Yeah, that's the thing we got to work on when it comes to legislation all that stuff.
It's a lot.
But that's a different podcast.
There's been so many things. Not even talking about the games, just all of a sudden we're on national TV because Mexican fans are yelling a bad word every time. By the way, they didn't just do it when the goalkeeper kicked. They did it for throw-ins. They did it for any time there was a stoppage of play in the ball, like any dead ball activity. Oh boy. You heard the fans go, and you're like, here it comes on national TV.
They were afraid to just pan to the audience at any moment just because they're going to have to blur the mouths of...
They still do the hot chick cam, though. You know, like...
Yeah.
Is that not just a staple of soccer at this point?
It's pretty... You know what's great about it is that you don't see it in... I don't watch many South American league games, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know.
They do it.
I imagine they do it.
Yeah, oh, no, they do it. I think there's a camera guy specifically for it. One on each end of the pitch.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know your job. Get some boobies.
And this camera guy, he's always wearing a bandana.
Yeah.
He's always smoking.
Yeah, yeah. Aviator sunglasses.
Chewing tobacco.
Yeah, spin it out.
You know that guy.
Shirt half unbuttoned. You know him.
Yeah, his t-shirt is rolled up.
Oh, yeah.
Cigarettes right in there.
Oh, yeah. One of those like fishing vests. Doesn't go fishing.
So So, you know, this is not a thing.
By the way, I like this guy. I don't know who this guy is.
He's a good dude.
I love this guy. I want to hang out with this guy.
But you don't see this kind of practice in like a Premier League game. You don't see.
Well, I mean, it's in England. There's no, what are you gonna look at? No offense.
Yeah, is it a woman with seven sweaters on.
yeah. Completely covered to the top. The only one you can is like the wives and girlfriends of the injured players. Those are the ones they show.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Even in MLS, it's not a thing they really do much.
No,
where they
no.
focus on, you know.
MLS is a bit more family friendly.
Yeah.
They're not like, yeah, except, look at this low cut top.
Except that the MLS Cup final with the Columbus Crew fan, the Columbus Crew supporter, the girl that just gave the middle finger
yeah,
to the camera.
Those are our broads.
Yeah, those are our Ohio broads.
Yeah, look at them. Yeah, what so you, hot. Oh, she's telling me where to go.
What are you from, Cincinnati?
Yo,
all right.
Nasty Natty. Look at the attitude on that one.
But look, the Copa America already. Look, the fanfare already feels World Cup-ish.
Yeah, it does, right? And you know what's funny? It's like we haven't gotten the fringe, right? Like we haven't gotten the non-soccer fans to pay attention.
Not as they would in like the World Cup.
Yeah, not at the level of the World Cup. But like let's say that's 10, we're at like a 7.5.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's like the amount of attention it's getting is impressive. You know, both positive and negative. Negative, everything Mike Francesa says. Positive, everything else that's happening.
Yeah, the ratings already kind of show that.
I think it was a 14% bump over the group stage of the World Cup.
That's right. So
it's huge.
So we're, yeah, already better off than the World Cup. And look, every time a big tournament comes through, and especially being in the United States, it's only getting better. So
yeah.
Soccer's not going anywhere, guys.
No, that's right. Sorry, old men. We're here to stay. You know what else is really important about this is that a lot of the TV rights, the bubbles burst on TV rights for soccer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people are negotiating lower than before, where each year it was going up and up and up for each contract. So it was like a scary moment. Is like soccer over? You know, is it going to continue to build? It seems like it's reached its peak in Europe. The U.S. 14% bump with, you know, again, Ecuador playing Haiti, you know, and teams like that. I mean, it's clear. And by the way, massive amounts of superstars not playing. Messi only shown on the bench. Suarez not there. He should have been there. You know, I get he's injured. You know, Neymar not there. These massive names aren't playing. And normally the star power is what draws people in. And some of these games are taking place at the same time as the finals, the NBA finals. So for there to be a 14% bump is massive. And it shows that U.S. has the potential to take over for the future, where if Europe has reached its peak and Asia is not just there yet, I mean, that could mean tons of money being pumped into the U.S.
Yeah. But if we're competing against the NBA finals, it's not really much of a competition. The Warriors are going to sweep the goddamn Cavaliers.
I feel so bad for Cleveland. I was pulling for Cleveland.
How do they look worse than last year?
There's two players with all of their players.
With all of their players.
And Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye. You know, there's two players from Essex County where I'm from on the Cleveland Cavaliers. I was like, oh, we're going to win, babe. We're going to win. Bring it back to Essex County. No, it's not happening. it's not happening. Funniest thing of this whole thing is Varejao gets a ring no matter who wins.
That's right.
So, you know, he's just like, yeah, I mean, it's fine. As long as I don't get injured, I could still have my weekend.
I think the NBA finals were actually the Western Conference finals. That was much better.
Yeah, that was much better.
That would have been a great NBA finals.
Yeah. back to Copa America. speaking of putting up a fight, the Uruguayan fans not very happy. It seems like someone from the Donald Trump campaign apparently is running the national anthems button.
Uruguay played Mexico.
Which, I mean, you want to talk about an exciting match. You knew those two teams were going to bring it. Mexico plays a very dazzling style. Uruguay, if you don't know, Uruguay plays basically the exact same way Atletico Madrid does, which is throw your body in front of the other player.
Correct.
And then quickly get up and try to score. I mean, it is wild to see. It's wild to watch. And those two teams against each other, absolutely incredible match. But all of it started right before the match even kicked off. They played the wrong national anthem. Instead of the Uruguay national anthem, they played the Chile national anthem.
Yeah.
And so, I'm sure the guy in the PA system was like, what was the difference? Bunch of horns. How can you tell the difference?
I mean, it happens. You're on iTunes. You double click on the wrong you know, the wrong song. You have it on shuffle. He had the national anthem on shuffle.
You
want
to play Life of Pablo? Next thing you know, you're listening to College Dropout. It's a big mistake.
It happened. It happened.
Quick, you hit
obviously,
a button.
There's almost nothing more insulting to a country, especially a country that like where soccer is the main sport.
Right.
Just open up, and maybe it's like a, maybe it was like a fix, you know, like a mental, like
you think a Chapo got on the horn and was like, hey,
yeah,
I can't kill him.
Let's mess with these guys.
All right, let's play the wrong national anthem. That's how he switches so quickly. He's like, how about we have all of Uruguay killed? No. Okay, play the wrong song. That'll get them.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that might have been more effective.
How about a different shade of blue? No? Okay. Okay, too rude.
It was, you know, you could, it could startle you psychologically before a game starts. And you're like, what are they playing? This is weird. Now you're thinking about something else besides the game.
That only happens when you're like really patriotic towards your country. Like if the U.S. national team was playing in Uruguay and in Uruguay they played, oh, Canada, everyone would look up and be like, oh, that's funny. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
great. It's a great like, bit.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, oh, I see what you guys are trying to do. They're like, we get bags of piss thrown at us by the Mexican fans. I think we're going to be fine. You know?
Yeah, we're a little tougher when it comes to because for the most part, if you're an American soccer star, you're not used to the celebrity or the fame of like a European star, or whatever. Like I know Michael Bradley can probably walk around, you know, he could walk around Park Slope and people be like, who are you? Why are you? You're a weird looking bald.
Yeah. Hey, bald guy.
Are you old? Are you young? What are you?
I can't tell. Are you happy? Are you mad? Very confused.
I've never seen you smile.
Yeah. Are you a dog walker? Why are you here during the day?
Yeah. So our American players can deal with a little bit of that negativity.
In Uruguay, there's like a, you know, and look, I'm half Uruguayan. I want them to win. I want them to play well. I still think I root more for the U.S. by a long shot.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm 90% rooting for U.S., small amount pulling for Uruguay. And if Cuba ever gets their stuff together, I'm going to be very confused. I want everyone to win. But, you know, I honestly felt that Uruguay had a chance to win. I know Suarez isn't back into the last group stage. They're currently in last place. So is U.S. So you know what? Don't have me root for your team. They're both in last place, 0 points. Only one game. Uruguay went down to 10 men and all of a sudden controlled the match. And then when the other team went down to 10 men, Mexico back to control the match. What is happening?
Mexico, we were talking about this last week. Mexico looks like they want this competition.
I mean, I think they're 20 games in a row unbeaten.
For the most part, you know, a lot of the talk about this tournament was like, oh, this is a one-off fake tournament. Doesn't really.
Yeah, it's a cash grab.
Yeah, no big deal. And then, you know, the group stage started and everybody's like, yo, we want this.
Yeah, we don't even want this. Bam, bam, bam. You're like, well,
I'm going to cut your damn throat to win this tournament.
The only thing that's missing is Copa America needs like the Champions League song. You know, the champions. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
We need like La Copa.
Okay, let's get Sean Paul to just do it.
Jean about Mr. Worldwide. It's going to be the worst song of all time.
Pitbull. Yeah. Hey, when did Pitbull become this guy? I don't like this guy. I liked his Cuban Miami reggaeton. He was dope. Like
he spit bars. We've said it on this podcast before. The guy was beast. He almost signed the terror squad. You know, which would have been a real mistake. But
ISIS?
Oh,
okay. Man.
Where's Kirby? That was very well done. I will tell him about that. The dude could spit, and then all of a sudden, I think it was like J-Lo was like, "Hey, how about you know you're from Miami? It's a party city. Why don't you just make party music?
Yeah, just be a global superstar."
And then he's wearing suits, and he's a global superstar / joke. That's generally how they go.
Yeah,
they generally go together.
But Mexico did win 3-1 against Uruguay.
And you know what? Look, that was honestly a 2-1 win. The third, I mean, Uruguay was pushing so many men forward at that point. Cavani looks like he did not show up. Vecino, who's the dude that just got, I know they were pronouncing his name Vecino. I'm pretty sure it's Vecino, but everyone has like, you know, Italian backgrounds down there. Yeah. You know, this is like his first or second, I think it's only his second or third start for the men's national team in Uruguay. What is happening? the guy's just kicking people left and right. You can't get two yellows in the first half.
Yeah.
You know, so I think he's done. He's going to be sent back home. But you're seeing a lot of class out of both ends. You know, the cool thing about Uruguay is like Jimenez and Godin, the two center backs, they play together at Atletico Madrid. So Godin, everyone considers him the best center back in the world. I do too. The two of them together seem like they play really well. One of them throws his body. The other one, you know, sits back, which is Godin. It's absolutely incredible to watch. A lot of fun. A lot of fun excitement in that group. We watched the men's national team against Colombia.
We did. USA, Colombia. USA lost 2-0 to Colombia.
Lost everywhere.
Los Cafeteros. Yeah.
Wow. We look bad.
Yeah. Hold on. Should I pause it?
Yeah, pause it.
Yes. So they didn't look great. It was a bit disappointing because it felt a bit, you just expected more from the opening game. You expect a little bit more energy.
They looked like they were playing a training match.
They didn't seem to be like connecting passes very well. All the friendlies.
Bradley looks so bad.
Yeah. Look, when it comes to.
You beat Bolivia. Who gives a shit?
Look, the U.S. had strong possession. They had the ball for the majority of the match.
Yeah, but they gave it to us.
Yes, yes. And that's it. That's what's a little disappointing in that it was, we sort of fell right into their trap, so to speak.
Yeah, it's like saying when you play Arsenal, like, oh, but we didn't even have the ball. Yeah, of course you didn't. That's their strategy.
Yeah.
Colombia wants you to have the ball and they're just going to crowd you. They're not going to let you make passes. They're not going to let you get in the final third. None of us... All of the old guys, and I know Zardes, people said like he looked like he was a threat. He had moments where he absolutely was, but overall doesn't have the I don't know if it's the skill or the mental awareness or what it is, but all of Clint, Bradley, you know, those two guys in particular looked absolutely terrible. Why is Fabian Johnson probably the best player on the team, one of the best scorers in Germany? Why is he on the back line?
Yeah.
And if our plan was to spring our back line up, then why is Bradley so far forward? He should be part of the defense, you know, like that sort of central defender, sort of like that forward sweeper protecting the back too. It's so confusing. Jeff Cameron looked great. And then he gives up, you know, the goal on a set piece. And by the way, Colombia didn't look good.
Colombia didn't look that great. They didn't necessarily impress. The first goal was off a set piece, which Jeff Cameron just sort of missed.
Lost them.
For like a second, but that's all it really took.
That's all it took. And by the way, the guy didn't even put a good strike on the ball. He just put his foot out and it went in.
Yeah.
And you can't blame Guzan. You can't blame, you have to blame, unfortunately, you have to blame Jurgen Klinsmann. I don't know what their strategy is going to be for tonight. We're recording this before USA plays Costa Rica. So I don't know what their strategy is going to be before they play Costa Rica. But I'm assuming that they're going to be, you know, younger. I'm hoping they're going to be younger. I hope Nagby is starting. I hope Pulisic is at least getting in earlier if he's not starting. You know, we looked slow. Bradley was making... the dumbest passes I've ever seen. Zardes has what's now being called the worst pass in football history, where he just sort of one time flicks it to literally no one. there was so much to watch in that match, and none of it is actually very good. The one good thing that Zardes did, which is, you know, it's so shocking. You see, like, you know, the first time you've ever played soccer in your life, whether it's a video game or in real life, you get the ball, you think, you turn and put your head down and run as fast as you can towards the goal you're supposed to shoot. That's like the first thing you do when you play soccer. It's what every kid does. That's what they were doing. Zardes once turned, came back the other way, shifted the defense, passed the ball to Dempsey. Dempsey sends a curler that went just wide of the goal. Had that gone in, maybe it would have switched the confidence around or something, but it went wide. That was the best attempt we had.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, and that's a sad part is how... I don't know, especially with how much possession the U.S. had, you would think they would have produced a few better chances. And they
capitalized a little.
And they really did not. And it made, I don't know, it made them seem a lot more like it brought up more concerns. You know, it brought up like, are these guys old? Are these guys?
Was it a mistake to go back to the MLS, you know, for Bradley?
A lot of little things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I had this argument on Facebook. People said like, oh, when our players stop going to MLS, that's when we'll be better. At the same time, it's like, do you want your players sitting on the bench in Europe? I mean, I love Gedeon's LLM. It looked like he was, or Gideon, I don't know how you pronounce his name. You know, Arsenal fan, he's an Arsenal player. He's playing at Rangers. He was injured for part of the year. He's kept out of the team for God knows what. You know, Jurgen calls him out by name in the Wall Street Journal article. And I asked a couple fans. We asked on the Cooligans. And one fan said he was inconsistent, 8 assists in 28 matches. I mean, not incredible. You're in the second tier of the Scottish division. He should be doing a lot better, but maybe he would be better with, you know, maybe he would play better or have better numbers if he had, you know, if he was passing the ball to better talent. Who knows? But a guy like that, I mean, 8 assists, that's still pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's not a scoff at.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, and he was injured for part of the year. I mean, that guy could have been an 11, 12. I mean, Mesut Ozil is being lauded or applauded, I should say, for having 18, you know. He would have averaged out to say 11. Get a guy like that in. He's still young. Why would he miss? Why would you have him miss this? If he plays badly in the Copa, don't bring him to the World Cup.
Sure.
But you got to bring a guy like that in. Jermaine Jones? Why is he still here? And I know he was good, but still, we got to have someone else. Why isn't guys like Carmen Carter-Vickers or whatever his name is, the guy who plays for Tottenham? Yedlin looked great, absolutely. But why don't we have some of these other players here?
Yeah, it seems like Klinsmann is holding on to, you know, you need some veteran leadership when you have on any national team. You saw Rafa Marquez score that goal. He's an important player.
He's on the cover of AARP.
But he's an old guy. But it seems like there's too old guys on the men's national team in the starting lineup.
If we get to the World Cup, I'm saying it here. If we get to this World Cup and Michael Bradley is either starting or our captain. I mean, I would hope he's starting if he's a captain. But if he's still our captain, we have failed. We have failed as a nation.
Well, if there's no prospect that is good enough to replace him, then that is a failure. If there's nobody behind him that can clearly take that spot and be that centerpiece, then yes.
And what are these anti-Klinsmann people thinking? Like the people who reacted badly when Klinsmann said what he said about the MLS, saying that he wants his players to play in Europe. He doesn't think MLS is up to par. If when he said that and everyone jumped down his throat, I have a feeling those are the same anti-Klinsmann people. How can you blame him for this when it's our own players? And listen, we love the MLS. We love it. We're season ticket holders, but we have to understand the level it's at. We can't blame Jurgen for not picking those players. And then when he does, they don't perform. You can't do it.
But you also can't get mad at it. It's also slightly hypocritical for him to be like, our players should be in Europe, but he's still picking up MLS talent. Do you know? Nagby's. He didn't play in Europe, you know?
No. And look, I'm not saying that it's wholeheartedly going to be, it's not going to be a talent suck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There is great talent in the MLS and there are great, but players that are coming back from Europe to play in the MLS, you have to expect that they're going to be a step slow because they're not playing against that high level of competition every single time.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's not that pressure cooker. We don't have that pressure cooker here. I hate to talk about promotion and relegation, but when your team doesn't have the fear of losing money and potentially closing out, you know, or closing down and going into bankruptcy and administration, all these things, there's a lot less of a hassle. You know, we watched a couple of matches at the beginning of the season that looked like they weren't even that important. And because we have a playoff system, it's not, you know?
Yeah, that is interesting. Like what does the promotion relegation system do for the morale of a team? Because when you're in fear of relegation and you know, it is that real fight or flight, you know, there's a panic to not get relegated that can really make you a better player because you can dig deeper inside yourself to discover some new sense of urgency that you never knew you had.
If you don't believe what Christian just said, think about every other American sport when it's a player's quote unquote contract year, when it's their final year.
Yeah.
And they're amazing.
They got to show up. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're incredible. They train harder. They play harder. That's every year where there's promotion and relegation. And I'm not one of these guys that says it's absolutely necessary, but we have to look at some of the things that's stopping us. I was having a conversation with, not Jordan Raybould. I can't remember his other name. Brent, right? Brent Raybould, the taller one. The other Raybould. You know who the Raybould brothers are.
His brother?
Yeah.
Oh, I never met his brother.
Well, anyway, his older brother, also a big soccer fan.
Okay.
And I apologize, dude, if you're listening. I'm sorry I forgot your name right now. But we were talking about... he's like, oh, well, you know, the men's national team should be making the players better for the club. That's backwards. Everywhere else in the world, since day one, the clubs make you a better national team player. Why do we here in America look at the national team as they should be building better club players? That's not the way it works.
Sure. That would be like if, you know, the Olympic basketball team, why aren't they training them to be better to win the NBA the finals?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, come on, Coach K. You know, that's not the way it works.
Sure.
And it's like, it's so frustrating that we have this backwards because the men's national team has always been more heavily followed than the MLS. And it's those little things that need to be fixed if we're ever going to win one. It just has to.
Yeah, when it comes to this particular game, it was the opening match. You are the host team of this tournament. You got to look better than that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other way around it.
And you know what? Everyone says like, oh, great. They might blend the two Copa America and Gold Cup into one. Well, one friend on Facebook was like, well, I guess we'll never win another one. If you want to be better at something, you have to play against better competition.
Exactly.
When I play basketball, everyone's like, yo, you want to be better? Go play against better kids. And you know what I learned? I'm not going to get better. You know what I mean?
They're so much better than me.
Oh, my God. Why are they so tall and fast? But the opposite is I actually did become better. I wasn't as good as they were. But when I went and played with my other friends, I was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was constantly playing against people that were kicking my ass and I kept trying harder and harder. Same thing goes for soccer. When you train against better people, when you play against better people, you become a better player yourself. We need to raise the standard of the sport. And look, if we end up winning the group and we end up coming out of it and we get to the quarterfinals, great. Thank you. That what I'm saying here will not change. My attitude may, but what I'm saying here will not change. We can't do another showing like this again. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it was bad.
If you're finishing early, go get a spray. You get what I'm saying? We need to find a spray.
Another match that we saw yesterday, Argentina versus Chile. Argentina won 2-1. Mr. Worldwide.
Another national anthem.
Another national anthem. Just a weird transition, I guess. Mm-hmm. Right? I guess it's the Pitbull remix of the Chile national anthem.
Which, if you didn't know, Pitbull's big fan. He's Cuban, but big fan of the Chilean national anthem. Not the team. So.
Yeah, after the national anthem, it just went directly into Pitbull, as if it was really the same song.
Yeah.
As if it was a Kanye song that had a weird middle and went wacky and then into like a new song.
Like a clip of a movie shows up in the middle of a song. It was very odd. And again, if they play they should play the wrong national anthem for Costa Rica tonight, because if they play the wrong national anthem or they mess up your national anthem, you lose. And that's what they did to Argentina. And Argentina didn't look incredible. They looked talented. They didn't look like a great team.
No, but they, when it comes to strict sort of ability and just kind of...
incredible.
Almost athletic ability. The main issue I saw with Chile looked gorgeous, by the way. I'm just talking about the haircuts. Oh my God, just amazing haircuts, top to bottom on that lineup.
Beautiful.
but they play an attractive form of football, and it was cool to see. Because there's no other Copa America team that kind of looks like them. There's a lot of cohesion, a lot of tiki-taka kind of play, and they look good. But they just.
Who do you think looked best on the team? If you had to say,
I don't remember all their names.
That's fine.
But I mean, Valdez looked really good from Bayern, right?
Vidal. Alexis Sanchez looked a bit slow to me.
Alexis Sanchez missed the ball a couple times in like crucial moments.
Yeah, I know he went through an injury spell at the end of the last season with Arsenal. And when he came back, he wasn't necessarily himself. I think he's still there.
Last year in the Copa America, he looked better.
Oh, the last Copa America.
The last Copa America.
Oh my God, he was incredible.
He looked great. But this one, I don't know what it was. I mean, Chile made so many what seemed like mental mistakes. The two goals they gave up looked, I mean, they were just turnovers.
Right? Yeah.
And so they gave up the ball in crucial moments.
They lost the match as much as Argentina won.
Yeah, and their front three, the Argentina's front three were completely just on point.
Yeah.
When it mattered, so Di Maria, Banega, Higuain.
Banega is incredible, man. You know, as much as his goal is impressive, and it, look, it was a deflection, but that pass to Di Maria down to the right-hand side,
yeah.
I mean, you don't get better passes than that in a national team that has, you know, players have played all season already, and they just got together. I mean, that was incredible. Banega is one of those players that he's dangerous when he's on the pitch because not many people probably crowd around him yeah. as they should, because you have to cover Higuain, you have to cover Di Maria, and Banega is smart, man. He is good.
And this was the rematch, basically, of the Copa America final last year, and you can tell that, well, obviously that rematch, there's clearly, you know, Argentina lost the Copa America, and that was a big deal. Still, Messi cannot win a world tournament.
Yeah, he can't do it.
He can get to the final all the time. But Messi didn't play this match. And I think that affected Chile a lot because they didn't know, like, who to focus on.
Right. It's easy to knock out, you know, to cover Messi and pull him out. And you're essentially playing against 10 guys when you do that.
And Chile didn't know exactly who to mark that heavily.
Luckily, Higuain, you know, it chokes every time, every time he gets the ball.
He did look good, though.
He did. He's dangerous. He's a dangerous striker.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he was very close to signing for Arsenal, and I don't know anyone that was not excited about it. He is one of those guys. I mean, he scores a ton in the Serie A. Yeah. He is one of those very, very dangerous players, and it's kind of exciting. It was kind of fun to see what that team looks like with without everyone focusing so much on Messi. You know, get Messi the ball, make Messi a part of it, make this and that. It was nice to see him sit out. Complete opposite of seeing Uruguay without Suarez.
Sure.
Exact opposite.
Di Maria, unbelievable.
Incredible player. Wasting his time in France.
What the hell were Manchester United thinking? Why would they? He was only there 1 year, right?
Yeah.
What the hell? They're insane.
He may not be fit for their system, but now with Mourinho back, he would have been a perfect fit. He looked great with Mourinho at Real Madrid. So I don't know.
He just looked a step faster and smarter. He almost plays a little bit like Villa as far as how he handles, how he dribbles.
Yeah.
He has a lot of similar Villa moves.
I can see that.
And but he has that eye for an assist more than Villa.
Yeah. And you know, the one thing I like about him is you never know if he's going to send in a very good cross. He's very good at crossing, or if he's going to break you down. I mean, if you're a defender.
Yeah.
If you're a left back,
get you a forward who could do both.
if you're a left back, bruh, you scared, bruh. You shook when he's got the ball because you don't know. Is he going to come right at you or is he going to send a cross? And his crosses are whipped in with pace.
Yeah.
The one thing I beg everyone to do, he is the RJ Allen of of the Argentina team. So,
big
honor.
That is a big compliment for Di Maria.
Big honor. Why don't we take a break?
Yeah. Also, before we take a break, just make sure you vote for RJ Allen for Etihad Player of the Month.
That's right, guys. Get in there.
Make sure you do that.
It should be called the RJ Allen Award at this point. So do what you got to do. Why don't we do that? Look, Copa America is great. If you guys aren't watching it, you're one of the few because everyone seems to be watching it and enjoying it. It's only going to get better from here. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back. What are we talking about in the second segment?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll figure it out.
It'll be a surprise to all of us.
As soon as you get back, you'll see.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Alexis Guerrero. I'm one of the Cooligans, and I just want to talk to you guys real quick about On The Volley Apparel. Really cool clothing brand based out of Southern California. They're LA Galaxy fans, but do not hold it against them. Right now, I'm wearing the most comfortable hoodie, and I'm not making that up, the most comfortable pullover hoodie I've ever owned, and it's got the Wu-Tang logo on the front with a soccer pitch inside of it. If you go to our Instagram, you're going to see some of the photos of it. It's absolutely some of the coolest stuff I've ever had. I want you guys to go check them out on Instagram. At On The Volley Apparel, ONTHEVOLLEY Apparel is APPAREL. Check them out. Their website is VA Football Club, VAFootballClub.com. Check them out. Absolutely awesome clothing. Such cool style. Buy some of that stuff. Really support them because these guys are doing a great job producing some really, really awesome stuff. And we absolutely love all of their stuff. I think you guys are really going to love it too. Again, check out that Wu-Tang. They even have that in a t-shirt. So I know it's starting to be summer. It's going to get nice and hot. Buy yourself a dope t-shirt. I wore it on stage the other day and people kept asking me where I got it. It's pretty dope. I think everyone's going to love it. I think you will too. Check them out on the Volley Apparel.
We're back.
Yeah.
And we've decided what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. While you were on the break, we argued and we figured it out. And yeah. Guess what it is? A lot of Arsenal talk.
A lot of transfer talk. But obviously, yeah. When it comes to transfer talk, Arsenal's involved.
Yeah. Well, certainly this year, finally.
As they often. Yeah. I didn't pay attention to Arsenal's transfer issues last year.
Well, let's say forever. Forever, what they do is a lot of names come out in the beginning of the transfer window as to who they're going to buy. They don't buy anybody until the absolute last minute.
Yeah.
They buy some 17-year-old kid you've never heard of, and the fans are upset. And then we look really good in the preseason, and then we start to get excited again, and we think we're going to win the league, and then we don't. So,
wow, what a routine.
Yeah, no, it's very difficult. But I will say this year, Granit Xhaka, who's not a name on the front of everybody's tongue, but
from Dortmund? Where's he from? Bayern?
He was like Schalke, not Schalke.
Oh, that's right.
Mönchengladbach, maybe. He was obviously Bundesliga.
Okay.
Incredible. I know that because I watched his YouTube clips. but from everything I hear and from everything they say, he's one of those central defenders that can spring the attack. We haven't had that since Arteta was younger. So he's looking good. That's going to be a lot of fun. And out of nowhere, out of absolutely nowhere, everyone was wondering at the end of the season, will Leicester City be able to keep their plays together? I think they will. They're just all going to be at Arsenal. I think that's
they're going to just literally helicopter in the same exact squad.
Yeah.
Just put them right in Arsenal's stadium.
I mean, shocking. Shocking. First off, Arsene Wenger buying a 30-year-old striker.
He's 29. He's 29 and a half. Don't you dare.
How dare I?
So apparently, this is the biggest story because Jamie Vardy's contract, his buyout clause has been met by Arsenal.
Or triggered.
Triggered,
that's
yeah.
the term they use.
Yeah.
£22 million,
which is, I mean, chump change.
Yeah, especially when Wenger, you consider Bale went to Real for 90.
Yeah. So this doesn't.
By the way, Sterling.
Oh, that's right.
Sterling was 50 something, and Vardy, the guy who was a couple suspended games away from being the Golden Boot winner.
Mm-hmm.
£22 million. That's, you know what it's like? This is what's like being an Arsenal fan. You only shop in the clearance section. But imagine you walked in the clearance section and all of a sudden there was this one thing you really need. You're like, oh my God, is this a Versace?
Yeah. How does this get here?
Shirt in here. Is this a mistake that it's in here?
Is it refurbished? What's going on?
Is this irregular? Is there a red dot somewhere on it?
Is there one sleeve longer than the other?
Is there drug evidence in the pockets? What is it? Why is it here?
Is this one very racist against Asians for some reason? Yeah. Okay, well, we'll work with it.
Well, that's fine. I mean, mildly racist. I can say I said racist, which is even worse.
Oh, Freudian. Don't you hate those racist Freudian slips?
Oh, boy. I've been living in Cobble Hill too long already. I said racist. That's fucked up. All right. Well, I apologize to everyone. Again, if you want to send a letter, send it care of Christian Polanco.
Exactly. Yeah, I read them all.
Yeah. So,
Vardy, it's a possibility. So Leicester has to deal with this, right? They have to.
Well, supposedly they're making a counter offer. The whole thing was that he would figure out his. And this is out in the open. This has been an offer has been made. This is all out in the open. This is it. Like, there's no rumors. As Arsenal fans, we hear like this person's going to be bought, and it never happens. Mm-hmm. A lot of players, a lot of players that I could Mvilla, I should say, go back and be like, oh, that was supposed to be an Arsenal player, really close. Higuain is another one. This is like everyone's openly talking about it. Claudio Ranieri. Confirmed it. This is happening today. What's his name? Tranchetti Palmieri tweeted out. And if you don't know who he is, he's a correspondent for BN Sports, CNN, Gazza dello Sport contributor, Rai Sport 1, Zona at 11 p.m. Sicilian, Italian born. Journalist. I was just reading his Twitter profile, which is why I ended up saying that last part. He has tweeted out today. He's got over 1,000 retweets. Arsenal have bid 32 million euros for Mahrez.
Okay. So,
which is a steal. Another.
Yes.
Two Versace shirts.
How they both get in here?
What? And they're both my size?
So this is, oh, you know, maybe that is the question. Are they the right size for Arsenal? That's a big concern. Now, at this point, there's a difference between Arsenal looking to get the pieces they need to take them over the top, or what I think they're doing. My theory is that they're just trying to sabotage, you know, the Premier League champions.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, everyone, look, here's the
thing. Which I get is a good strategy in itself.
Great strategy, yeah. Right? I mean, look, people are saying that, like, you know, this Trent Getty guy is not to be believed or trusted. And right now he's the only one who's mentioning this whole Mahrez deal. It wouldn't shock me because I think a lot of people said that they thought Okazaki or Wes Morgan fit better. Mahrez, the number one name people say when they're talking about either Barcelona or Arsenal. I get it. I get why they would say it. The Vardy deal was a huge shock to me. But if they are double dipping, I mean, yeah, it's a great strategy. Even if you buy these guys, play them and then sell them next year to, let's say, you know, Barca or Real or PSG. Good on you. You stopped Leicester. Here's the problem as Arsenal fans is we're out jumping on the Leicester grenade while Chelsea is getting stronger. Mourinho's going to Manchester United. You got Pep coming over to City. You got all these other teams, and they're just going to hopscotch us and win the league. You know what I mean?
It's interesting because if the strategy from Arsenal is to sort of hurt Leicester, even if they don't get these players, they just by triggering their buyout clauses, you are effectively like financially hindering the team to some degree, because now they have to renegotiate with their player. They have to offer them more money.
Right.
That is less money you can give to your new players or new signings that you would like to get. So in this case, it seems like Arsenal, their belief is that their biggest threat for the 2016-2017 season is Leicester and not Man City and not Man U and not Chelsea.
Right. It's another one of these things where, like, it seems like we're always an also ran, you know? Like, I don't feel the confidence of us being able to. And it's funny, I say that, and then during the year I'm like, we're gonna win the league. I don't know. How do you feel as an Everton fan? There's zero rumors.
Nobody wants to go there.
Everyone
wants to leave. Yeah. Well, the big news is I think Everton in a couple of days is going to announce that Ronald Koeman
is their manager.
Is going to be their manager, which is a big. I think that's a good look. He did a lot for Southampton.
Southampton is in Europe.
Yeah, and he seems like when you watch, if Everton could play like Southampton, I would be very happy with that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, why wouldn't you?
So, and you know, when you think of Southampton, you don't think of just megastars or anybody, but they had a good team. Shane Long was great. He had a couple fantastic goals last season. So, I am optimistic about that signing. So, I don't know. Maybe he can attract some interest from other players, and other players may want to go there. But, who knows until he's finally
I think
there.
It's going to take another year. I think he has to institute his playing style, which he did at Southampton really well. And I think once he institutes that and people see how fluid he likes to play. I mean, Everton is the kind of place where, you know, I feel like they need a manager to be there for a long time because they need that sort of stability. Like, you know, Martinez wasn't that, but Moyes was that for a long time. I feel like they need that back. You know, I feel like once they get that back, it's going to be a little bit better. And, you know, it's slow steps. The exact opposite of Arsenal. Arsenal needs to go by right now. Everyone's saying that Arsene Wenger's freaking out because this is clearly his last year and he wants to go out on a high. Who knows? Just win the friggin' league, will you?
In other big transfer news, nothing more Leicester news, rumors suggest that N'Golo Kanté might be headed to Paris Saint-Germain.
Or Chelsea, which are tripling his wages.
So a lot of people want him. They clearly saw what he did last season, and they were like, yo, this dude, we need this dude.
He's still running right now. So
he has not stopped. He ran around all of Europe with the trophy.
Just kicking balls away from kids.
They didn't even need the float, you know. No, he just held it up. Yeah.
he ran through the parade route and then he went full circle, came back, gave them the amazing N'Golo Kanté. Good for him.
It's good to see players like that and maybe this happens more in Europe, but you don't really, I feel like this doesn't really happen in MLS where like in America, we're like as knowledgeable over of like what a quality player is, even though they're not, you know, scoring or a goalkeeper, you know? So there's, you know, there's more to the game.
Yeah. It's like the stats don't necessarily matter as much.
Exactly. And he's a player that you're like, he's clearly wanted, and he plays, what he offers is important to a team, and it's not just the things. It's not specifically goals or assists. So
it's not quantifiable in numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, the one thing you can say about him is when he's in, you win, and when he's out, you lose. I mean, absolutely incredible. Him and a player like Wes Morgan. You know, I don't know. Here's the thing. I would love to see Leicester stay together. I think they could probably, you know, do really well, maybe get in the Champions League next year. And by
keep the band together, guys.
Yeah, me saying that means that they're going to win again. But if
it was such a beautiful story, it would be.
But it happened already.
So sad.
It happened already. It's like, you know, when you're an artist, you want to die at your peak, right? Because they'll talk about you that way forever.
Dude, is that what you want? Wow. Well,
not me. I mean, like, you know, like Kurt Cobain or Picasso.
I'm sure. Yeah, that was a perfect ending. Yeah, he was perfect like, ending. This is the way I want to go. Yeah.
No one has any questions about how Kurt Cobain went. But what I mean is
all
he
the
went
sadness,
out,
depression, and mental illness. I mean, whatever. But like
he went out in his peak is what cool. I'm saying. It was a pretty great way to go, isn't it? Hey, Shotgun, you're my only friend.
Yeah, it really the blood spatter pattern that he left on the wall was his final piece. Yeah, you know?
It's actually a peace sign because I'm out. You know, you want to sort of walk away at your peak because that's the way, like Jim Brown, everyone will talk about you that way. And I think this is it. The Leicester movie is written. Let him go back to the third tier.
Okay.
We're done.
It'd be nice if they, at least I would like to see them compete. Yeah. As well as they did last season. You know, maybe they won't win it necessarily, but it'd be definitely, to me, as a just a fan of the league, it'd be sad to just break them apart.
Root for your own club, Christian.
It was a big deal. Like when the Warriors, before they won the NBA Finals, there was a big story like that they were going to trade Klay Thompson for Kevin Love. They felt like that's what they needed to like get over that hump.
Right.
And now looking back, how terrible would that have been?
Absolutely.
You would have missed the Splash Brothers, the whole story, the excitement. Every time Klay or Steph take a three-pointer, how excited do you generally feel over just seeing the arc of the ball? You know, whatever. So,
well, being a Knicks fan and we were one position away from picking Steph Curry, I don't feel any excitement. I feel anguish. Just, I feel the walls closing in.
As a fan of the sport, you know, whatever.
Screw them. Root for Everton. Do not root for Leicester.
No problem. Also, Ibrahimovic is set to announce what team he is going to, and that seems to be Manchester United.
The LA Galaxy of Manchester United. he's not coming to MLS. That rumor has died. It's done. It's obvious that it's going to be Manchester United. So looks like...
How do you think he's going to fit there?
He loves Mourinho, so he's going to fit perfectly well. He's great on the counter. And his personality in the English Premier League is just going to be absolutely amazing.
So he's going to... He's obviously going to start.
For sure.
Who do you take out? Is it going to be like Martial? And
take out Rashford, take out Martial. Although Martial seems like he would be great on the counter. You move Rooney back or Rooney gets traded or sold.
Rooney's definitely going back. He's already been playing a role farther back.
He's got to slide back. I mean, you know, Ibra's got to be up top. He just has to be. He's incredible.
Yeah. It's just so strange that you have this like 19-year-old wonder kid. And it's like, no, let's put the 35-year-old guy.
Yeah, the 35-year-old ponytailed guy. Let him go in.
With the villain mustache.
Yeah, who, again, looks like the guy with the camera for boob cam. I think Ibra is going to be exciting. Little MLS news. Looks like Lucas Milano.
Yeah, of the Portland Timbers.
Boca.
Is going to be sent on loan to Boca. I don't see him coming back necessarily. He's basically going back home. Yeah. You know, he wasn't playing too much for the Timbers this season, but he's gone. He was a big deal in the MLS Cup playoffs last season. But Milano is officially going to Boca Junior.
So this is good. I like the fact that, you know, the top tier South American teams seem to have a back and forth with the MLS. That's only good. That raises our level a little bit because I think those guys play tactically a little better than we do. So that's fun. Yeah.
The last few Walcott to West Ham. How do you
supposedly
feel?
Supposedly 25 yep. million. Get him off the team.
You're done with the with
Duh,
Theo.
Theo. They used to say sign the ting, meaning like sign the contract. Hey, Theo, when they put the contract for West Ham, sign the ting. Get to pouts.
Rumors that Felipe Coutinho will be that there's a bidding war for him from Barcelona and PSG.
I don't think he's going to get sold, but if he does, that means Klopp's going to have more money to bring in more Dortmund players. So
yeah,
he's just going to bring his old friends in.
Pulisic to Liverpool.
Yeah. Oh my God, that would be exciting.
And Dani Alves, is in the past, but Dani Alves left Barcelona to sign with Juventus.
The other Barcelona, the other always winning. I don't know if you saw this video. Dani Alves said that he's better than Pele because he's won more trophies than Pele. This video of him sort of laughing, jokingly saying that.
That's a weird. It's a weird statement to make. Very unnecessary. Yeah. Dani Alves is also Brazilian.
Yeah.
Which is also like, it's like saying you're better than Jesus. You know, yeah. Like in Brazil, that's not a thing you do.
No, that's something you say when you want to be murdered. Yeah.
It's like if, one of us said, you know, we're better than Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. People are like, how don't you dare?
At what? You ain't wearing no leather vest.
You do not speak about our Lord and Savior that way.
How dare you? If Bon Jovi heard you, he would kill you right where you stand.
So, but apparently Dani Alves left Barcelona because he felt, quote, it was too easy playing at Barca and I wanted to leave my comfort zone.
Jesus.
Wow.
Jesus. If I can. Sounds stupid. But you know, I mean, he's kind of a wild card anyway. He doesn't really fit Barca style wise, sure. But I mean, personality, he's kind of a wild card, you know? So it's going to be fun to see him play with Pogba. I think it's just going to be great if Pogba stays. How is Pogba? People are saying Pogba is the most overrated player. Are you, what's wrong with all of you? Him and Dybala, how is Dybala not getting bought?
Well, yeah. I mean, Juventus is a big, it's a world power when it comes to, world clubs.
I mean, they're the best in the Serie A, which everyone's poor in the Serie A at this point. No one has any money, so we'll see.
So, I was just surprised by is that a thing that players can just be bored by winning so much? Is that I've never really heard of that.
I mean, I'm an Arsenal fan and an NYCFC fan. Probably not the guy to ask.
Just a strange sentiment, you know, as a professional athlete, you're just like,
winning.
Maybe it's similar to LeBron going back to the Cavaliers where he was like, Dani Alves doesn't really have any connection to Italy, I imagine.
No.
So it's not like he's going back home.
No.
You know, if he came back to Brazil to win.
Yeah, if he plays like Fluminense or something, you're like, this guy cares. So
it's a strange.
It's like Tevez going back to Boca means something.
Yeah, I guess.
Dani Alves going to Serie A, to Juventus. It doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, yeah. You're still, it's like, yeah, you can, if you go to Juventus, Bayern,
you're trading one Champions League team for another. Exactly. If you want to go to Serie A, go to Chievo, okay? go to Hellas Verona, which I believe just got relegated. But if they didn't, go to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see how much you really want to challenge Danny.
He'll be fine.
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
We'll be back with Cooligan's Corner.
Cooligan's Corner, everybody. Damn, Alexis, you look amazing.
Damn, Christian, I was going to say the same thing about you. You're practically glowing.
Dude, I got to know, did you lose weight?
Did you just shave?
Did you get a new haircut?
Did you get your teeth whitened?
Did you get a face tattoo?
Did you get bicep implants?
You know, I think it's that we're both wearing these great shirts from On the Volley Apparel.
That's right. Not only are On the Volley clothes super comfortable, they have some amazing designs.
Yeah, they're all soccer inspired, like their shirt with the Wu-Tang logo that has a soccer pitch in it.
Dude, that's one of my favorites. You know what? We got to let our fans know that they could save 20% off any order with the promo code THECOOLIGANS, all one word, just by going to VAFootballClub.com.
That is huge. 20% off any order
of On the Volley Apparel at vafootballclub.com just by using the promo code THECOOLIGANS, all one word. That's a great deal.
Yeah, our listeners are really lucky. Hey, you don't think this tattoo of Elsa on my face looks stupid, do you?
Nah, man, of course not. Hey, do you think it's weird that my doctor added nipples to my bicep implants?
Yeah, baby. Cooligan's Corner.
Cooligan's Corner.
Yeah. So we got a little bit of news. It's been exciting, and most of the news is really the stuff we've already talked about.
Yeah, the big couple stuff. Things. Yeah, but there's little... These are the stories that are that slipped through the cracks.
Yeah.
That we find.
Didn't bubble to the top.
Exactly. So this is big. Today, today is June 7th, 2016.
Yeah.
If you don't recall, there was a big story with Chelsea last season. Mourinho, obviously, he got fired. He got sacked. There were so many issues.
So many.
But one of them...
We know who to blame.
We know.
And so does he.
But one of the issues that he had to deal with last season was Eva Carneiro, which I feel weird just addressing her as an issue. She's a human being, yeah. who was wronged, you know? Who
clearly doesn't know her place.
But Eva Carneiro, she was the team doctor.
Yeah.
And
physio, if you're English.
And she was involved in... So if you don't remember the story, basically...
She basically like ran out on the pitch when no one asked her to.
Exactly.
And but Mourinho secretly said that, or believed that it was because she was too romantically involved with the players.
Yeah, so there was a case. She sued them for this because that's not a really... She got fired after that happened.
Yeah, she got unceremoniously let go.
Yeah, so it was really bad. So she basically claimed it was like a wrongful termination suit. And we'll fill you in on if you don't remember the story, but she won her case.
She just won.
Or she settled it.
She settled. Yeah, but she turned down the last settlement, which I think was £1.5 million.
£1.2 million. So she said no to that. So clearly she got more than that.
She had to have.
Yeah. So
good for her.
Chelsea, Mourinho, and Carneiro have settled. So this is now over and done with. He can begin his Man United spell.
Which he said, by the way, Man United deserves him.
Well, yeah, he can now harass the physios in Manchester.
So look out. Kyle.
Yeah. But this is I was reading over the story because I didn't remember every single detail from it. So,
sure.
You know, I remembered it as she ran onto the field to take care of Eden Hazard. And apparently Mourinho was upset because it was a crucial point in the game and they didn't want to stop the game because Chelsea was like pressuring. So
it was right about that point of the massive slide they had last season.
Yes.
Where if she hadn't done that, he feels that momentum was on their side. And if they would have won that match, it would have turned it around. It was early enough in their slide. So I guess the longer it went with, you know, the slide happening, the more and more he focused on how she was the reason for it.
Which is obviously crazy.
Insane.
The claim was that Mourinho said that she was impulsive and naive. Those are his words for running out on the field without basically being told to. But when you see, you know, there's the Hippocratic Oath, you know,
right?
When you see someone injured, you're like, all right, well, you know, when you're on a plane and somebody's like, is there a doctor on board? They're not like, hey, let me check with my manager if I can go.
Did the pilot say it's okay?
Exactly. So it's instinct to go out and help an injured player, and Hazard appears to be injured, so that's why she went. But the big cause of the of what she felt was sexual harassment was Mourinho during the match. He quote said in Portuguese, because she's also Portuguese.
Yeah.
He said, I'm butchering this, but yeah, I think you'll get the point. Fila da puta, which is basically means daughter of a whore.
Yeah. And so that's what you yell at a doctor.
So that's what he said. So she heard that. He said that. And then his response to that was, he didn't say, I didn't say that. She's crazy. He said, I was saying that the whole game. What's the big deal?
What are you talking about? I said that over there to the hot dog salesman. I said it to the manager of the other team.
You mean you're going to... that's how I talk.
Yeah, well, you think I meant you specifically because you ran out there it's and like, your mother happens to have been a whore? You
know? Jose, we're at work. Your daughter's still a whore.
I don't
know what's the big deal.
I don't understand what your problem is.
So, look, we're glad that's over. I'm sure she got...
I just found out that in Houston, they call everything a hoe. Like if you walk in with nice sneakers, they're like, look at you wearing them nice hoes. Or like if you're playing basketball, they'll be like, shoot that hoe.
Yeah, yeah. It's just it's a noun that refills. Yeah.
Maybe Mourinho spent some time in Houston.
In H-Town with Beyonce.
Yeah, yeah. Him and Slim Thug.
Slim Thug. Paul Wall.
Paul Wall. Mike Jones who? Mike Jones.
Maybe. So look, I'm sure she... It's unsettling and it's a bummer that she had to deal with this in the first place. But this is, you know, it brings up a lot of issues of just sort of women in the workplace. It's a very common thing. But as always with men in powerful positions, they always come off unscathed. He'll be fine in Manchester United making tons of money.
Yeah, he'll be just fine.
speaking of Manchester United. Marouane Fellaini. If you know Fellaini, most people dislike him. I guess you know
he is not loved.
So he recently put out a new picture of himself on Instagram. You know, and we know the Fellaini fro.
It's a famous
fro. But now it's blonde.
Blonde. Did you see Ramsey?
I didn't see Ramsey.
Ramsey went like full bleach blonde. Hair, whole head. It's shocking. I'm going to pull it up and show it to you.
When it comes to, look, haircuts and hair in general in football, it's a big deal. It is important.
Your hair is important.
You know, there's not much you can do to, I mean, I don't want to say that there's not much you can do to stand out, but it seems like there is a consensus that you have to... your hair is like your signature to some degree. You know, it seems like footballers are very competitive when it comes to haircuts.
It is, and it's part of what people see. Like people talk about the NFL. The NFL passed the law that you can't take off your helmet during gameplay a few years ago.
Yeah.
And a lot of the players said that it was anti-player because they can't really market themselves if they're constantly wearing a helmet. You know, people don't get to see what they look like. It lowers their ability to be, you know, to market other products and their sponsorship deals and whatnot. So soccer players take that very seriously. It's a very free sport. It's a very creative sport. They tend to be very free and creative with their hair. Marouane Fellaini kind of stuck in the same haircut and maybe he's thinking of a way to get out of it. But his blonde is like an auburn, or maybe that's just the Instagram filter.
Yeah, an ashy blonde.
Yeah, the other thing is, what's with the collar on the shirt? I mean, what is happening? Pull that thing up closer to your neck, bruh.
No, he has a very, it's not a deep V, but it's a low crew.
Yeah, it's a low crew. I'd rather he had a real crew that would tell him, don't wear that shirt, dog.
Yeah, he does look like he's about to go clubbing in the 80s.
Yeah. Looks like he's wearing those pointy gator shoes. Have you seen Aaron Ramsey yet?
I have. Yeah, he's bleach blonde. He looks like Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, that's right. Gwen Stefani with a slightly better beard. It's embarrassing. It's weird.
Yeah, so next up, Neymar.
Oh.
Neymar is not playing in the Copa America. And the Copa America is going on right now. So it was a big deal. Barcelona basically said, you're playing in one or the other. You're playing in the Copa America or you're playing in the Olympics. So what he has chosen to do is...
He came to America to be with his teammates and support, right?
No.
Are you sure?
He's on a world tour. He's on a U.S. tour.
He is on the Neymar tour.
The Neymar tour. So he is... He watched the opening match of Copa America with Brazil. He was with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
He's hanging out. He's chilling. So it's...
Superstar.
It's weird to have one of the greatest footballers on earth just watching the game. Yeah. You know, watching his team play. He just should be there.
You're better than everyone out there, dude. Get out there.
You should be. But no, so...
it's like when I watch a comedy show. You know, exactly. Everyone's like, you should be on stage.
What are you doing watching this? You're better than
back
this.
Here.
With us commoners.
Come on. Get in there.
But Neymar... He's been all over the U.S. doing a lot of fun things. One of the fun things, which was exciting to me, I'm a big Met fan. Yeah. He came to meet the Mets.
greet the Mets. Tell me again, what are the Mets, if you're a Neymar?
So
Neymar looked good in a baseball jersey.
Looked good. He was wearing a Met jersey, the home jersey. And there's a great video of him.
Great if you hate Neymar.
Video of him at a batting practice.
Taking a couple swings in a batting cage.
Taking a couple swings. And this is.
And let me just say, the bat must have been really heavy.
Neymar. So we see that he's clearly never used his hands, right?
No, I feel like he tweets with his toes. This guy can't use his hands for anything.
He looks like he has no upper body strength, no shoulders.
His swing was like a 5-year-old girl who the dad is like, just take a couple so I could take a photo.
I've seen little league t-ball with better swings than what Neymar attempted.
God,
he looked really, really bad. It's like the video's been going around. It's pretty funny of just him with some very poor swings.
And now you think he's going to be embarrassed again. He's hanging out with Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber looks like a little white Kanye. He's got tight ass jeans, this massively heavy looking shirt.
Yeah.
And they decide to kick the ball around, little kippy uppy.
Yeah. Neymar and Justin
and
Bieber.
Justin Bieber, if you're listening. And by the way, if you think I'm about to shit on Justin Bieber, you are wrong. That boy has got skills.
He is. We should. Canada should look.
Canadian national team. You want people to show up?
Bieber can ball, dude.
Dude, Bieber's techers all day.
Yeah, Bieber and Neymar were doing some keepy-uppy back and forth. The ball did not drop once.
Amazing. Headers, shoulder. He uses shoulder. He uses his thigh, his feet. Incredible. Neymar, by the way, doing it all with a beer in his hand.
Yeah.
Much respect. But again, Neymar's paid millions to do this.
Yeah.
Bieber, no one even knew the kid could ball.
Yeah, he is paid millions to be a teen heartthrob.
Oh.
I mean,
the weird part of the video is when he stopped to throw eggs to the neighbor over the fence. That was
yeah, we're like,
weird.
Okay, you did this already. Yeah, why are you
like,
doing this again?
I feel like you're repeating yourself.
There's a pattern developing.
Yeah, you really love this, don't you? But man, the kid could ball. It was incredible. It was
amazing.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. Another thing, you it's easy to dislike Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, his you know, he lived his life very publicly, his childhood very publicly. Yeah. He could easily have become Michael Jackson in terms of like crazy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel like he's on his way.
But I feel like he's going at a reasonable pace. Look, he did the Comedy Central roast. He can laugh at himself. Imagine Michael Jackson doing the Comedy Central roast. That's something that I think would have been helpful and therapeutic for him.
Would have been great.
The jokes.
That would have been atrocious. Hard to watch, but it would have been great.
Yeah, it would have been. So, you know, props to Bieber. I think he's not going to die of a drug overdose. That's all I'm saying.
He doesn't have to say sorry for those skills.
Also, Neymar also went to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, hanging out in Barbosa. Turned around, saw him on the way out.
That's right.
Said some nice things in Portuguese, and they all had a big laugh and a ha-ha.
He got to meet Neymar, took a picture with Steph Curry.
They swapped jerseys.
I'm almost a little curious, like, do soccer stars, you know, especially in Spain, I don't know how popular NBA, I guess in Spain.
Incredible.
No, it is pretty big. Yeah,
in Europe,
right.
NBA is massive.
So he knows Curry.
Yeah, and I would say in the NBA, the NBA is more massive in Europe than the Premier League is in the U.S.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's like everyone knows about it. Like ever since the Barcelona, you know, Olympics, when the Dream Team, NBA has been like the thing to watch for them. Yeah.
Okay, and finally, the FIFA 17 trailer.
Just when you got comfortable with 16. Just,
it takes, you know, about 8 to 9 months to get comfortable with the one game. They're like, nope. There's a new one coming.
Here comes a new one.
So the FIFA 17 trailer is up. It's on YouTube. It's on. If you play FIFA 16, you can see the video right in the main screen. What'd you think?
It doesn't show a ton of the gameplay in the trailer that I saw.
They focus a lot more on like the motion capture.
Yeah. I mean, the facial structures of the players is incredible.
Yeah. So graphically, every year we're like, well, what are they going to change? What's the new thing?
Yeah.
And
usually it's just the shirts. They just change
they
the
just
jerseys
update
and
the
jersey. That's it.
No, but like, you know, I play FIFA pretty addictively.
As do I now again.
And The difference between FIFA 15 and 16, I mean, the physics were very, very different. The ball, like, was just bounced more realistically, the interaction between both players. So this trailer kind of focused on the game, almost focusing on the game graphically and on the spectacle of, like, how much money they're putting into, like, this is a big budget motion picture. That's what the trailer kind of told me.
Like a Michael Bay video game.
Yeah. Like, there's going to be explosions in this one.
Megan Fox is on every team, whether you like it or not.
That's how it is, okay? Yeah. So it seems like, that's they're the game is incredibly popular and it's only growing every single year, and it's difficult to find what to change because the games are so good all the time.
Great Googly Boogly, one of our fans, just posted it's going to be a slight upgrade on 16, the next tweet, which was a slight upgrade on 15, next tweet, which is a slight upgrade on 14, next tweet, okay, I'll stop, which he's right. They are slight upgrades, but I think there was a big shift from 14 to 15. I think the style of play, the way the system worked, the way the defending worked, for a while they tried to make you be your own goalkeeper. Nobody wanted to do that.
No.
So we're back to having them be the goalkeeper. But I think a lot more changes are going to come. I think we're starting to see now where it's going to get so incredibly lifelike that it's just going to be too hard to play. You know what I mean? You're going to have to play every day.
You're literally going to be like winded after a game.
Yeah. Sweating, wiping the sweat off your brow.
Yeah. I mean, when I try to think of, I'm sort of this way with video, especially sport video games. I'm like, well, what would I like to see? I mean, if you can, even while I'm talking, can you think of a thing you would like to change about the game that you would wish is in FIFA 17?
I wish the defending was a little better. I think sometimes...
Better how? What do you mean by
that? I mean, a bit more intuitive. I mean, maybe that's just me because I'm really terrible with defending.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not great at guessing which way the player's going to go. So my guys end up looking like it is. But one of the things that frustrates me, it seems like in real life soccer, players tend to go towards the ball if a person misses their mark. You know how many times Mertesacker's just looking the other way? I mean, that kind of stuff just never happens in real life.
Sure.
And that part of the engine, I think, needs to be fixed. So, because I am stuck yelling, if your player leaves his mark or he gets passed, players tend to try to recover. They don't just stand there and stare and look around,
Yeah. I guess the only thing I could really think of that I would like to change, maybe the in-air physics. Like, there's something I don't like about, when you have, like, if it's Lukaku against, and the ball's in the air, and there's a 50-50 ball, but it's Lukaku and Coutinho, let's say.
Yeah.
Tiny guy. Lukaku should get that ball all the time.
Not all the time.
Or you know what?
We're complaining about things our own teams do.
No. But just there's like, this is one complaint I do have actually. When it comes to when the ball's in the air and a player gets fouled, the game there's never a foul. Like there's never a call.
Right.
It's like the referee will never call any kind of foul where they're both going in the air and somebody gets knocked over.
Yeah.
So that'd be one thing like where I wish the physics could include fouls that are in the air.
Yeah, I mean, if they made it too realistic, then you'd have teams like every time you jump for the ball, there'd be a foul though.
Fine.
Yeah,
you want a real damn game?
Let this game take 90 minutes, even though we're playing 6-minute halves.
Yeah, so FIFA 17. And look.
I can't wait for it to come out so that we can go back to the players' lounge and get revenge on these damn 12-year-olds.
Yeah, and if you have, if you're excited about FIFA 17 and you're a big fan of the game, let us know what changes you think FIFA 17 should make. I mean, I'm trying to think of things I would change even slightly about the game, but for the most part, I don't know if the game is perfect or if like I play it enough and I'm like, well, this is it, and I just deal with it and I end up liking it anyway.
Right, you know that there's bugs in it and you're just gonna play with those bugs.
Yeah, for the most part, I would say I don't really notice any real like glitch issues like that. What you saw in like FIFA 98. Yeah. for like PlayStation 1.
Right, you can only run forward, back, left, and right. You can't run in a circle.
Yeah. So, but like if you're listening to this and there's things that you we didn't talk about or you things that in FIFA 17 that you'd like to see,
let us know what pisses you off about FIFA 16. Hopefully they make those changes for FIFA 17.
Yeah, we'd love to talk about it. So that's it, everybody.
Yeah, you've been listening to the Cooligans.
We did it again. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Soccer Cooligans.
We have some really awesome stuff which might be coming out before this video, before this podcast is released. But hopefully you guys are paying attention. We've got some really big surprises coming.
Yeah, and make sure during the Copa America, we will be Facebook Living. It sounds like living.
Living? I feel like we'll be living.
But Facebook, we'll be doing Facebook Live, and we're talking pregame and halftime, postgame, a lot of stuff. So,
Send us some comments, send us some questions. Yeah, we want to talk.
Follow us on Facebook, like our page, because and then you won't miss any of those Facebook Live videos.
Absolutely. And we'll be posting about it on Twitter and whatnot as well. But make sure you hit like on our Facebook page. It'll actually send our account a little bit higher in the ranks, so when we go live, more people will see it, and that will only help us out. And you don't have to spend any money or do anything. All you have to do is click one button. It will help us out. So go ahead and do that. My name is Alexis Guerreros.
My name is Christian Polanco.
We are
the Cooligans.